Today's scripture reading is from Mark chapter 7, verse 31 to 37. It's on our church Bible, page 750. Or you can look at the screen behind me. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down at the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought a man to him who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to put his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the dumb speak." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Greg, for reading for us. And thank you to Andrea for giving us the announcements, and to Matthew for the children's moment prayer, and to Bruce and all those in the handbell choir for playing for us. Thank you. If I may draw attention just to one other item in your bulletin, next Sunday is Thanksgiving, and we always have a Thanksgiving offering. And so I want to encourage you to just think about the ways the Lord has blessed you, blessed us, and we can participate in that Thanksgiving offering. We'll be supporting two ministries, New Hope Ministries, which is our ministry to children in the Philippines, and Canadian Baptist Ministries, the mission arm of our own group of Baptists in Canada. So thank you. God has a glorious vision. All things will be brought under the headship of Jesus Christ. And people from all nations and languages will come and worship Jesus. Here at Trinity, our multicultural unity that we share together in Jesus Christ anticipates this glorious vision, as we were learning 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we began to look at our mission statement, which says, "Knowing God, touching lives." The first half of this statement, "Knowing God," reminds us that God can be known, that He is personal. He has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ, and He is the God who saves. It also calls us to a deeper relationship with God, as we learned last week. And this morning we're going to look at the second half of that mission statement, touching lives. In 1928, John B. Watson, an originator of what is known as behaviorist psychology, urged parents to maintain a boundary between themselves and their children. He said, "Never hug or kiss them. Never sit them on your lap. If you must, kiss them once on the forehead at night. Shake hands in the morning. Give them a pat on the head if they have excelled at a difficult task." You see, John Watson believed that a child who has never known physical affection enters adulthood with a robust attitude that no adversity can overwhelm. We know how wrong John Watson was. We all need physical affection. Studies show that a person who receives a hug gets as much benefit as the person who gives that hug. just at the very physical level. A hug lowers blood pressure, heart rate, and cortisol levels. It stimulates the hippocampus, which is the area of the brain that is central to memory. It helps release hormones that are linked to uplifting emotions. So go hug. You see, touch makes a difference. Jesus used touch to communicate God's love and grace. The most common word for touch in the New Testament occurs 37 times. 31 of these occur in the Gospels. And all 31 of those examples are to do with Jesus using touch or being touched by others. You see, no matter how you slice Jesus' ministry, touch runs through it. So when our mission statement speaks of touching lives, we are making a powerful connection with the way Jesus revealed God's love and grace in people. So let's be encouraged. Let's be challenged. We are walking in the steps of Jesus. The first time that touch is mentioned in the Gospels, and you may wish to turn to this, or I think it'll be on the screen for us, is in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, and Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 44. A man with leprosy approaches Jesus, kneels before him, and says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus replies, "I am willing." And he reaches out his hand, he touches the man, and he heals him. Two details are significant in this passage. First, Mark tells us that when the man first asked Jesus to cleanse him, Jesus was indignant. It's a strong word, much stronger than the NIV's phrase that we sometimes have, filled with compassion. It's a lot stronger than that. Jesus is deeply moved. He's even angry at the way this man's life has been destroyed. We speak of compassion for the needy and the broken, and that's good, we should. But alongside compassion, there must be a righteous anger at sin and evil in our world. Sometimes I wonder if, as Christians, we are not angry enough at how sin and evil distort, damage, and destroy lives. The second detail is just as important in this passage. Lepers, and that was a phrase that really covered anybody with a skin disease, lepers were ritually unclean according to Jewish law. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 to 46, command that anyone with a skin disease must live alone, separated from family and friends, and go about shouting, "Unclean." To touch someone with a skin disease would immediately make you ritually unclean. You would be unable to participate in worship. You would be quarantined until you had undergone purification rites. To touch anybody who was unclean brought in no enormous social and religious shame. Yet Jesus touches this man. And many times in the gospel, Jesus touches those who were considered unclean. But notice this. It is not Jesus who is contaminated by the leper's uncleanliness. Jesus contaminates the leper with the power of God to heal him. Jesus brings true freedom, something that the Old Testament law could never do. And his action in this story and in other stories where he touches unclean people teaches us that when we say touching lives, It means that we do not look down upon the broken and the needy or the hurting or the sinful. We are angry because sin has done so much damage, but we touch them with compassion and grace. In his book, Your Church is Too Safe, Mark Buchanan, a Canadian Baptist pastor, tells the story of Father John Sergiev, a Russian Orthodox priest in the mid to late 19th century. I think there's a picture up there. Imperial Russia at the time was rotting. Streets were dangerous. Poverty and depravity were rife. Crime ran amok. Alcoholism was rampant. Prostitutes crowded street corners. Thieves hid in alleys. Nowhere was safe. And those used to a life of privilege and status did all they could to insulate themselves from these perils and hardships, including most church pastors. But not Father John. Each day he would put on his pastoral robe and go into the meanest part of the city. He'd walk among the addicts, the villains, the whores, the thieves, the orphans and the widows. He'd find the most broken and most dissolute man or woman, and he would bring hope. And looking at each one in the eyes, he would say to them, "This way of life is beneath your dignity. You were created to be a home for the glory of the living God." Father John was called the pastor of all Russia. Everywhere he went, revival went with him. To say touching lives means we reach out to anybody, no matter who they are. Like the leper in Jesus' day, or the addict in Father John's day, or the despised, rejected, and unwanted in our day. All need the touch of Jesus extended through you and me. So who are those that we consider untouchable? In our own circle, in our own connections, in our own contexts, God says we are called to touch them, to reach out to them. Another example of touch is found in Mark chapter 10, verse 13, and Matthew 19, verses 13 to 15. You know the story, I'm sure. People bring children to Jesus so he can place his hand on them and bless them. And the disciples are annoyed. How dare these people interrupt Jesus? And the disciples tell the people off. This time, Jesus is even more angry. The word here is even stronger than the one in Mark chapter 1, verse 41 that we looked at a few moments ago. Jesus rebukes his disciples and invites the children to come so that he can bless them. For they illustrate the kind of attitude needed to enter God's kingdom. Open, childlike trust and faith in Jesus. Here, Jesus' touch teaches us about welcoming others. We are not to put up barriers that hinder people from finding Jesus. I may have told you the story before, but at the church I pastored in England, we had Sunday evening services. And one Sunday evening during worship, we heard small pinging sounds against the sanctuary windows. Someone was throwing something at those windows during the service. And several people in the service were clearly agitated and annoyed. How dare this service be interrupted? It fell to me to investigate. Outside were four teenage boys who were picking small apples and throwing them at the sanctuary windows. As soon as they saw me, they fled. Must be the muscles, you know how it is. But being the kind of person I am, as they were running off, I challenged them. If you're that interested in disrupting the service, why don't you come inside? Are you afraid? Teenagers do not like being challenged whether they're afraid or not. Are you afraid? turn around and come back in. We got cookies and juice inside. And they did. We halted the service. We welcomed these four teenagers. And not long after, two of them joined our church youth group. Now, I could have been angry with them when I first saw them. They're running away. I could have been angry. I could have told them to push off. Leave us alone. I could have called the police. Those responses would not have brought them closer to Jesus. And I think Jesus would have been angry with me if I had responded like that. Instead, we welcomed them. Do we welcome people here? What about the parent whose children are noisy in the service? What about the family that arrives late? What about the person who forgets to turn off their cell phone? What about those who seem to require more emotional effort? What about those who don't fit our profile of ideal church visitor? When we say touching lives, we are committing ourselves to being interrupted and inconvenienced, all for the sake of seeing others find Jesus Christ. Jesus' willingness to touch and bless children challenged his disciples to see beyond bothersome children and discover the extravagant welcome of the kingdom of God. And so we come to today's text. Jesus travels into a non-Jewish area. It's called the Decapolis, the region of the 10 cities. And a man who cannot hear and can barely talk is brought to him. The people beg Jesus to touch the man. And Jesus puts his fingers in the man's ears and touches the man's tongue with his saliva. And at the command of Jesus, the man hears and speaks. It's an amazing miracle. And that is the point. He has done everything well, the crowd say. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Now, if you look back at Isaiah chapter 35, you see there that Isaiah 35 describes the joy of those who have been redeemed by the Lord. It's a glorious picture. Isaiah 35 describes the restoration of creation. Remember our biblical vision, or the Bible's big picture vision? As the desert blossoms and danger is removed. And Isaiah 35 verse 4 tells how God will come to save. Isaiah 35 verse 10 celebrates the return of the ransomed of the Lord, as gladness and joy will overtake them. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. Between these verses, we read these words: then the eyes of the lame, of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Do you hear the connection? Isaiah 35 prophesies redemption and hope from the Lord. And who fulfills this prophecy? Remember in Matthew 11, verses 4 and 5, John the Baptist sends messengers to ask if Jesus is the one they should hope for. Remember how Jesus replies? He says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And good news is preached to the poor. Jesus fulfills Isaiah 35. He is the redemption and hope of the Lord. Touching lives, as we see with Jesus touching the deaf and mute man. Touching lives means that we join Jesus in his kingdom vision to restore all things to him under his lordship. What a powerful phrase. In 1986, John Wimber Christian leader and founder of the Vineyard Church, recounted the following story. I think his picture's up there. He says this, and I quote, "I had been called to pray for a woman whose left hand had actually died. It was black to the elbow, her fingers drawn up and rotting. Amputation was scheduled for the next day. The odor was incredible. I could see the bones through the skin of the fingers. That's when I knew I had to touch this woman's hand. I put my hand over hers, closed my eyes, and prayed. As soon as I got outside the room, I cried. Why did I do that? I probably embarrassed her so much by drawing attention to her plight. I went home with no sense at all of any victory. I fully expected to hear next day that the amputation had been completed. 2 weeks later, the woman's brother came up to me with a lengthy handwritten letter from the woman, and she was left-handed. It told how overnight her hand began to recover, just enough to delay the operation. The doctors kept postponing it a day at a time until finally she completely recovered. Though he had no sense of God's power, John Wimber's willingness to touch and pray was used by the Lord so grace could flow into that woman's life and a sign of God's kingdom could be seen. No matter how small your or my faith might be this morning, touching lives means we let God use us as vessels of his grace, flowing into people's lives. We become signs of God's kingdom vision. Like Jesus touching the leper, we reach out without prejudice. Like Jesus blessing the children, our touch displays God's extravagant welcome. Like Jesus touching those who needed healing, our touch displays Jesus's grace and love. The sign of God's coming kingdom. We put the final one up there, please. Our mission statement. Thank you, Nieves. A surgeon stood by the bed of a young woman on whom he had just operated. Her mouth was paralyzed and twisted. To remove a tumor in her cheek, the surgeon had to sever a nerve to one of the muscles in her mouth. "Will my mouth always be like this?" she mumbled. "Yes," said the surgeon, "it will." She nodded. She fell silent. But her husband, who was standing on the other side of the bed, smiled. "I like it," he said. "It's kind of cute." Then he bent down to kiss her crooked mouth. The surgeon watched, moved by this husband's display of love. As he kissed his wife, the husband twisted his own lips to accommodate hers, to show her that his loving touch still worked, that he still loved her. Trinity Baptist Church is marked by a great vision. A vision that began before creation and that continues into eternity. That Jesus Christ is Lord over all, and that believers in Jesus from all nations and languages are brought together in Christ. And Trinity has a great mission. Knowing God, he can be known. And to know him is the surpassing greatness of our lives and touching lives. We continue the ministry of Jesus in the power of his Holy Spirit. God's loving touch still works. to God be all the glory. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Lee.
Thank you, Pastor Callum. Indeed, to God be the glory. He has called us to a tremendous mission, and he has called us each to know him and to touch others with his love. Would you please stand with me as we sing together, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done." To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. O perfect redemption, the purchase of God, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transcript in Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
If you wish to receive prayer, there will be those here who will gladly pray with you at the end of this service in a few moments. May you know the blessing of God who touches lives. And may you now go filled with his Holy Spirit and be that blessing to others. And God, amen.